Hello, fellow castaways. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Episode 3, Only the Lonely. We're going to be looking at all the lonely people on the island, plus some amazing backstory. We're talking all about it. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. We're throwing it back today.
I can't dance to this. Usually I can dance to the song, but like, it's too slow.
If you were really good, you'd be able to dance to this. This is you have to feel the song. You just dance.
I was like, okay.
A little bit of like a sway.
Exactly. Yeah. A sway. Only the lonely.
Only the lonely. Great episode. But once again, everybody, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV Competitions. I'm your host, Michael Patterson, and I'm joined once again by a full panel tonight.
Well, I'm Tehran. I know you guys missed me last week, as evident by the comments where no one mentioned my name. But I'm back this week, and we're talking some good castaway stuff.
Hey, guys. I'm Katie Wolski.
What's up? I'm CJ Walker.
And hello once again to everybody in the live chat and anybody watching after the fact. If you guys are wanting to be in the live chat, be sure to jump in live. We're taping at 8 o'clock Western right now on AfterBuzz TV Competitions. We look forward to seeing all of your comments. But we'll just get right on into this now because this is a very jam-packed episode in this one. Mm-hmm. We got to see some backstory from two important characters. We kind of moved away from the whole Robbie and Kenzie storyline, which was a little bit refreshing. But CJ, I know Kenzie's your girl. What are your opinions on this episode?
I'm still Team Kinsey, and I am glad that we did not see that many things of Robbie today.
Okay, starting right off the bat. Katie?
Of course. I really liked how we got to see, you know, more about Matt, I think, because I had a lot of questions about Matt, you know?
Okay, interesting. Tehran?
Well, I was very impressed with the psychological aspect of this episode. I felt that this episode's direction made me feel way more comfortable with the show. And something that I learned to respect is even though we have the luxury of watching this from home and it's just cameras, nature doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that's something that I felt the danger in this episode, where I actually was worried about some of the characters. I did think something was going to happen. They played intricate music at a specific part with Matt, and I thought maybe something was going to attack him. I saw Eric be afraid of crocodiles that were not in the water. And I was just impressed with the ability of people to live. And then it showed day six. And I was like, wow, this is only 6 days in. How is this going to play out two more weeks, a month or two or 3 months later?
Yeah, I really like this episode because I feel like now at this point, I feel for almost every single character. Like, there's not a single character in the show now that I don't have at least some sort of emotion towards, which is something I really like. But like I mentioned a little bit up at the top, we got to see some new characters in this episode. Well, not so much new characters, but we got to dig more into them. And one of those people was Eric. Got to see a lot of backstory from Eric today. CJ, what do you think of Eric in this episode?
Honestly, I feel like he might be one of the villains. Like we were saying last week, who might be a villain? I feel like Eric might be that guy.
In what way?
I don't know. He just seems like he just wants to keep to himself. When Tim and Chriselle went to find him and then they left, he just stayed by himself. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little confusing for me, I think, because Eric has been talking, I feel like, this whole time about how he's so lonely, and he named all of his, like, sticks and machete and his canoe. So, I don't know, I was very, like, confused on why, when he finally met people, then, you know, he was like, oh, like, I don't want to ask them for help. I don't want to bother them. Like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
That was the whole point.
But was I the only one that audibly laughed out loud at Tim and Chriselle talking about him naming his items? Like, I wasn't expecting the comedy in that episode, but we definitely got it.
Well, he did name his items, which is very castaway-esque with, you know, the volleyball. But something that I thought, Wilson, right? So the concept that I found with Eric is how underwhelmed and unimpressive he was. And I was actually a big fan of Eric episode one. We didn't really figure out Eric episode two, but here we have chances for Eric to show and showcase his abilities. You're a Navy personnel, you're ex-Navy. I was expecting him to be able to do so many things, and then all I saw was a thermostat in the water, and he was afraid to even go get that. He made Tim and Chriselle swim to him, and even he struggled a little with the coconuts. He struggled to get the coconuts.
He still did it, though.
He did it, but it was the struggle that I found unimpressive. Not because I'm not impressed with the fact that, still, once again, impressed with all of their abilities to stay on this island. I would have died a long time ago. But I would have just expected more from a Navy-trained individual, is all I'm saying. And I've seen more out of every other individual. I even saw Matt basically storm, like, he basically feared the storm of going to unknown, uncharted waters. And then I literally saw Eric afraid to go out a couple feet to retrieve something that's a very necessary item.
But Eric built an entire boat, a boat by himself. Does that not, like, say anything for you?
You mean the boat that he built out of a tree, yeah, kind of?
He
found the canoe.
And he made improvements to it.
It was impressive. I don't think I could do that.
No, see, because I can kind of agree with you a little bit in a way that if it weren't for seeing Eric's backstory this episode, I don't think I would really be so high on him so much, because I feel like I'm a little underwhelmed by his personality and his skills on the island.
Exactly. His lack of skills on the island. You would think someone who's Navy trained would be a better fisherman, for example, or a better swimmer, or a better, just better. Especially Eric, with his physique, with his background, I was expecting a lot, and I was underwhelmed. And I was impressed by a lot of other characters.
Katie, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Did I sell you? I feel like I'm selling you.
He did a tiny, tiny bit, but I still feel like Eric did a lot of things that I think, you know, maybe I couldn't
what
have done.
What did Eric do?
Well, he chopped a tree down.
Oh, my gosh. He chopped a tree down with a tool. It's not like he karate chopped it down. He took a machete, and it probably took him a while, and he chopped it down.
Yeah.
And he still did it, though.
But it's also, palm trees are notoriously, they're not like the thickest, densest trees. So he did something that he was supposed to do with all those muscles. I expected him, if he tore it down with his bare hands, we could have a conversation.
Okay. All right. You know what?
He chopped it down with the machete to get the coconuts. He climbed it. It wasn't the tallest one. He climbed it, had trouble getting to the coconuts to begin with. And it was just a couple coconuts that were unripe, by the way. Unripe coconuts.
It does not sound like you're a fan of Eric.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was a fan of Eric. As the game has progressed, as the storyline unfolds, I have become less of a fan of Eric because I had high expectations and hopes for his character and ability, and he has fallen short on every single type of situation that I've put him in. Every single one.
One question. Okay, so because of that, do you think that he's going to bring down Tim and Chrishell?
Does he become the villain? I like CJ's theory on it, possibly. Mm-hmm. I was even underwhelmed with his family life. Like, the only good part
you were
about...
underwhelmed, you said?
Only good part about Eric is the cute daughter that he has. I was really underwhelmed. I was impressed by his partner. I was impressed by the daughter. And I was still unimpressed by Eric's ability or lack of ability to handle his family life and the emotional instability of his family.
What'd you expect him to do, though?
I expected him to be the one in the bedroom consoling his daughter. I expected him to be a little more active in the participation of things that were going on in his home life. I expected him to have this training to be able to provide food and create shelter and all these things that I've always envisioned in my head that a person with the Navy training would be able to do. That's what. Thank you for your service, by the way, Eric.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. It's interesting about Eric, too. And by the way, to everyone watching, if you stick around to the end of the show and you like this debate, we've got a very great special topic tonight where we're going to be getting right into that debate and we're going to see what you guys think. But sticking down on the top of Eric, I think we're seeing a little bit, not of a weakness, but from his bio, it mentions that he had to leave the service because of... like a
lack of
trauma.
Ability to do stuff.
No, from a personal trauma.
Personal trauma.
And so I think we're going to see that in the future. That there might be a PTSD angle that's going on right here that we're not necessarily seeing, because you would think someone like him would be able to thrive in this kind of situation, but it's almost like the stress is getting to him.
PTSD is no laughing matter. PTSD is a very horrific psychological damage that we put the people that serve this country through, and I wish we had better care for them when they come home. And it's actually very sombering for that to be the situation. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to Eric, I don't know right now if he's as credible to me as he was in the first episode. And I do not know if Eric is the same Eric that I thought he was. That's it.
Interesting. Interesting. I like that take. I personally like that take. But we'll move a little bit on. We'll move on from Eric right now. But before we get on to our next interesting castaway, we've got a very great offer for you guys that Taran is going to tell you all
about. Well, it's not even just an offer. I just want to let you know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz, that's us, continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we will thank you on air, because we are very appreciative of all your support and all of your comments. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And like you mentioned a little bit, we are reading those comments. We discuss them before the episode.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, seen we
what.
Do.
So we appreciate the communication with you guys. We try to get back to all of you. So if you guys have questions, comments, or concerns, I'd love to hear them. But we're going to move on now to talk about the next character with backstory in the show, with Chrishell. We got to see a lot more of Chrishell's vulnerability, I guess, in a way. Because we got to see her, I guess, struggle with her identity as a woman in situations where she's surrounded by men.
Right.
And we got to see more of that. And, you know, Katie being the only woman on this panel, we got to see her feel like she couldn't get that last word in around this group of people. Can you relate to Chrishell's struggle in any way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I have an older brother, so I definitely know what it's like. And, you know, I've had a group of guy friends growing up throughout high school and everything. So, like, I know what it's like to, they do pick on you. I mean, I feel like you do know that it is a joking matter, but a lot of times guys actually do go too far. Like, we are girls, we're super sensitive. Like, you can only say too much before we, you know, get upset.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that was kind of a sobering moment for me, because I have a younger sister, and it kind of made me reevaluate maybe the way that I've communicated with her, and it's definitely going to make me think a little bit more when I talk to her
good.
Next time.
I hope it does.
That's so interesting, because for me, it made me think, I need to pick on my sister more, because
okay.
If you're going to not make it on this island, Chrishell. No, I realize being a minority in that situation where you have six brothers, a family, and plus a father figure.
Two father figures.
Two very interesting father figures.
And now you're once again finding yourself to be a minority in this situation. I do think that Chrishell jumped the gun a bit, because nothing had happened. She brought in her previous baggage into a future play, and it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy in which she creates the situation and is counterproductive to it on her own.
Honestly, this episode made me like her more than I did last time. Last time, I did not like Chrishell at all. Great. This time, I kind of do, because it showed me how vulnerable she is and can be. And she's not just some demanding, independent. Well, she is independent, but she isn't demanding about it. She seems more sensitive and calm than I thought she was.
Did we just see a change of heart in CJ? This is crazy.
I don't think Kinsey will ever forgive you for jumping on board Team Chrishell.
I still love Kinsey. Kinsey's number one. Kinsey, sure. I love you.
Number one.
But Mike, when you said you have a sister and that it plays that part, did you see any of your sister in Chrishell?
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like she has had those struggles where people don't give her enough credit, or she doesn't get that kind of word in there, because she, I mean, we have a pretty close relationship, so we've talked about these kind of things. It's like the strong female role, it, even though you can be this strong personality, you kind of almost can't help your circumstances sometimes. But I feel like Chrishell knows what she's doing, and I think she may be a little jaded because of her situation, but she seems to be trying to overcome it, which is good. But what I found interesting about this episode was that if you look at her bio, it talks about how she was reluctant to leave her family because she feels like once she leaves, they won't be able to stay together anymore. But in this episode, it almost seems like she feels that they'd be better off without them. So I'm left thinking, what is it?
That just touched my heart.
I disagree with two things you said. The first thing is you said that she was trying to overcome it.
Yes.
And Chrishell was trying to overcome that baggage and circumstance, and I felt like she was succumbing to it because she was projecting it and saying it's already happened a little bit. And at least for our eyes, we didn't see any of it.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I think that, you know, she came in there as a worrier, worrying about because it's already happened so often to her that, like, it's just, like, clicking in her mind. You're like, like, here, it's going to happen. Like, and I think she is, like, jumping the gun with that.
So would then you say that that defense mechanism, is that a good thing to have in this situation or not so much?
In my opinion, it's not, because you are going to be your own demise, your own worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, I think she definitely would be better off staying with Tim and Eric. And if she does decide to leave because she thinks that, you know, her voice isn't being heard, then I think it might hurt her, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do think that she was maybe worrying a bit too much. But I kind of liked that because it showed, like I was saying, that she's sensitive, and I wanted to see more of that from her.
Yeah, I feel like she's one of my favorite characters right now, even because I can kind of see where you guys are coming from, where she's putting up a wall where she doesn't need to. But I almost think that having that level of skepticism almost helps in a situation like this. And it's interesting kind of how they, and I'd really like to know if they set these people up to meet each other, because it almost seems like it's no coincidence that the two men she's with, not only are they both male, but they're also service members.
The service members then bonded over that immediately.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
They have very similar backgrounds.
Except
that
Tim is actually very capable. I just want to throw that out.
Tim does work.
Tim's capable, and that's what I mean in comparison between Eric and Tim, for example. Tim is clearly the more competent, capable of the two people as of now. Now, I don't know. Next episode, Eric goes out and builds an entire city out of two Twinkies and a coconut.
Yeah. But Eric built his entire place. Eric survived by himself. And Tim had Kinsey or Chrishell the entire time.
If I remember Eric's struggle, he was hungry for a long time.
Yeah.
And he wasn't thriving. He was surviving.
He was surviving. That's the key
word. That's the minimal. And the concept is, we see Roshana is also surviving. We see the other people who are also not as selectively capable as he is also surviving. He's not thriving more than they are. They're all on the same plane. But when I look at Tim, when I look at even how Kenzie is handling things, they're thriving. They're actually doing well and are very culpable to surviving the island as is.
Well, I mean, of course Kinsey's going to thrive, but with Tim, Tim had someone the entire time. Eric did not. Eric is still surviving by himself.
Eric has someone now, and he's still not, basically, he's not adding on to anything except he brought them coconuts.
And a boat.
And a canoe that he's not sharing. We don't know where that's going. And what the ramifications of this canoe is. I think that next episode, that will play a big part.
Katie, what's your take on this? Because you seem to have a pretty strong opinion about this.
No, I was just kind of thinking, like, is he going to stay with him? Because, you know, I was looking that he didn't bring any of his stuff over. Like, is he just dropping the coconuts off and going back? Or, like, is he just going to drop coconuts, go back, grab all his stuff, and then come back? Like, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't notice anything else in the canoe. And he kept talking about how he didn't want to bother them and how he, you know, didn't want to ask for help and all this stuff. So, I don't know. I'm a little...
That whole dynamic seems weird because Eric doesn't want to bother them. Chrishell thinks she is going to get left out. And Tim's just living. So, I don't know how that is going to work out.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic. And one of the things that I'm curious about is that if he doesn't bring his stuff over to that group, Katie, do you think that's a mistake? Do you think he's making a mistake by not grouping up with them?
I definitely think so, yeah. I mean, I think you would agree too there, Taran, that I think he definitely needs the help. And I think just mental stability right now, I feel like he's starting to like lose it with the whole loneliness situation. And he needs to just get over his fear, gulp it up, go over there, hang out with them, What's he so scared about? Yeah, asking them for help. Why is he so scared?
That's the thing. I think we haven't found the reason why he's so scared. And I think that what's going to happen is that his loss is going to be his baggage. That maybe he lost his ex-partner, which is the mother of his child. He lost maybe other people in the field. And he's so afraid of losing people that he keeps people at arm's distance and keeps them away because he doesn't want to ultimately lose them. Or better yet, he doesn't want to fail them. Because if you remember, the struggle to get the coconut was so real simply because he made the promise that he would bring them coconuts.
Right.
These are unripe coconuts. They're pretty much useless. There's no reason to have these coconuts. He went out of his way to bring these coconuts because he has a fear of failure that's very apparent.
Yeah, I feel like we're almost missing something from his backstory.
100%.
That I think we might be getting into in the next episode. But we're going to move on from Eric and Chrishell for now. And I want to talk about the other three people that we sort of got introduced to a little bit more, Terry, Krishana, and Matt. CJ, because you obviously got these strong opinions about people, out of these three people, out of the three, which ones do you like, which ones do you not like?
I would say, I don't really know too much about Matt that well, so I don't know how I feel about him just yet, but I like Krishana, and I don't think I like Terry. She seems kind of crazy. She was singing. Well, you guys were saying that Eric was crazy for naming his stick and stuff. She was singing to herself in voices and like Disney characters. That's crazy.
She's keeping herself occupied, you know? I don't think there's anything weird about that. She was on the island alone for a little while, so what's wrong with keeping yourself entertained?
No, that's weird. but Krishana, she seems like a nice girl, like, she seems very wholesome, goes to church. I like her.
It's interesting. One of the things you brought up was the fact that she was singing to herself. And in solitary, one of the way the prisoners keep saying is by having conversations with themselves in that way so that it's an ongoing conversation, because if they sit in silence, they tend to go crazy. And so that's a psychological thing. And we saw that Terry was a provider and a caretaker in her previous life, in her home life. And she falls right back into that role, which is why Terry became my favorite person, is because despite the fact that she felt that she wanted to be alone, she not only survived, not only was she the least likely to survive and continue to survive, but she was surviving. She was actually enjoying her time. And then when she found a lost soul, she once again stepped up, and despite her own personal feelings, she took the more noble path and became the caregiver yet again to Krishana. And I felt that that was also very honorable of her to do.
Yeah, Terry definitely impressed me in this episode. I feel like, because I think we all kind of said this in the other episodes, that she was one of the people that was the most likely to end up quitting. But it seems like, yeah, she is this kind of provider character. But it begs the question, do we think that they're going to thrive? Because you talked about surviving this group together. Because, Taran, you talked about surviving versus thriving, and it's two very different things. So then, do you think that Terry and Krishana are going to thrive or just survive?
I don't know if Krishana and Terry do very well. I do, however, think that Terry is the only one I have heard that does not complain.
Yeah.
She has not complained one time. She hasn't been, I'm hungry. She hasn't said, I'm hot. She hasn't said, I'm starving. She hasn't said, I'm thirsty.
Of course.
But we've seen enough insights to know that the show would clearly show that.
Right.
What she's done is she's taken this as the most optimistic situation of all, and somehow has managed to still find food, which I still don't know how. She has been able to find water, which I still don't know how. She was able to find a bag, and she was happy with the bag she found, and she was genuinely the most optimistic of them all.
And I think that'll help her a lot, too. I mean, because having a good mental headspace is easily...
When she dies, she'll have a smile. I don't know.
Yikes.
I don't think she's going to die.
But the concept is she's the whistle while you work person. And
That's true.
I'm very impressed with Terry. More impressed because the same... It's very interesting, the dichotomy. The exact opposite, where I had such high hopes and expectations for Eric, I had no expectations or even low expectations for Terry. Mm-hmm. And she has superseded all of my expectations.
I feel like they flip-flopped.
100%.
Yeah. I feel like they're just... Honestly, Krishana, Terry, and Matt, I feel like they're just supporting characters. They haven't given me anything that makes me say, wow, they're my favorite character. They're my favorite castaway. I just think they're supporting characters.
Well, I think that Matt's the most likely to die, and I think that's something where we should watch. The most likely to get injured. I mean, he's the risk taker. We see him take a strong risk. We see him have very little planning. He has a goal with no plan, which means that he has something that he wants, but he hasn't actually hashed out the details to get there, and he's just taking that leap. And we see him bite off more than he can chew.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm-hmm. Katie, what's your take on Matt?
You know, I don't know. I like Matt. I like the risk taker. I think that you sort of need that on the island because you can't just sit and stay where you are, especially where he was. He was just on that shack in the middle of the water. So I feel like he definitely needed to move. Although I do agree that he probably should have planned it out a little bit better, thought about how is he going to carry his backpack.
Or what he would do, or he had nothing with him, or the fact that the water was getting deeper.
Or he should have left his
backpack. We don't know what's in that water.
Yeah,
or
because we saw him fail at least a couple times, maybe three times, because of a lack of planning. And
five times if you count his races. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Well,
no.
Shade.
Well, no, that's important. I mean, that's a very important part to consider as to why he is in the position that he is right now. And that he does have a very great structure. He's got a nice setup. But again, it's that thriving versus surviving, and he just seems to be surviving right now. And it's interesting that you mentioned CJ that he doesn't really give you anything, as he's kind of a supporting character, because I feel he had one of the best moments in this entire episode. The whole moment with the
a defining moment. I don't know if it was the best moment. Best would incur a positive connotation. I feel like he had a interesting, the most intriguing moment.
Are you talking about?
I'm talking about the necklaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that is a very strong thing. Because the first one I was seeing this, and Terry was pulling the necklace out of the bag, I was like, dude, why are you bringing ashes on this? Like, I feel like that would just be dangerous to bring it right there. But then, as he explained it, we got to see that, you know, he had multiple, and there were his friend's ashes all over the place and all over the world. And I just, that moment really stuck with me.
It's
and
even a beautiful though, story.
Yeah, and even though we didn't see a lot of Matt, I want to see more from him now because he seems like a genuinely nice guy who's just maybe a little misguided.
100%. Nice guys finish last all the time.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, no.
Nice guys finish last. That's not, I don't write the rules, I just read them. And when it comes to Matt, I feel like at this point he has become my new Terry, where I think he's going to finish last.
Okay. I feel like Roshana is going to finish last. Honestly, I want to know why Roshana applied for the show, because she says she doesn't know how to do this, she doesn't know how to do that. She's never even been camping, which, I mean, same. But I want to know why she applied if she knew that she had to go live by herself and survive in the middle of nowhere.
Two reasons, man. That money. That money.
That money?
They're probably getting paid good money on the show.
I don't think so. Actually, if you know anything about reality shows, they do not get paid well.
It's just a small
stipend. That's a very simple thing. It's very simple. Oh. The concept that everyone's getting Kardashian salaries is very over. It is definitely over-exaggerated. I would be surprised if they're getting minimal money. And sometimes you don't get paid at all if you don't appear in episodes. So it's not what you think. I don't think it was money. I think that there's a spirit inside Roshana that we have all yet to see, a spirit that's stronger than anything else, because she has something that supersedes logic, it supersedes heart, it supersedes intelligence, it's faith. And when you have faith, when you just pure-heartedly believe something, we've seen it move mountains. And I think that Roshana has a strength within her that we've yet to see. We've seen only the weak side of Roshana. But she will surprise us the most when it means the most.
I feel like she is gonna end up like that last guy. What was his name?
Angel.
Angel. She's gonna be the next one to drop on the next episode.
Interesting. Okay. But that'll be interesting to see. But we're starting to run out of time here. But I want to make sure we hit everything. So we're gonna jump right into our news segment of the week, because Katie's. There we go. Katie's got some really good news for us about the people on this show.
I do. Okay, so Chriselle Kerbo, just recently I saw on her Instagram that she went on a missionary trip to a village in Ghana where she taught sex ed to the kids. And while she was there, you know, I think she really, you know, saw a different side of the world. Obviously, it being like a third world country, and she saw the issues and the problems that the children deal with that obviously none of us really deal with on a day-to-day basis, which is like open wounds, they're living out of bushes, they have to pay to go to high school. And so she actually started a GoFundMe account after her trip to help build wells and pumps to have clean water for them. And so, yeah, what do you guys think about this? I think it's very noble and awesome. Just so, so awesome.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it makes me appreciate her as a person more. I mean, it shows that she's got a really good heart and she wants to help others, which I think is always amazing. A $20,000 goal, that's a lot, though. But
it is. But it does cost $5,000 to put in a well and a pump. So I think she wants to put in 4.
Interesting.
I think that's the goal. But if you want to contribute to her GoFundMe, me, it is right on her Instagram page. There's a link in her bio. Her name is Krishelle Kerbo, K-E-R-B-O-W is her last name. Yeah.
Awesome.
And for our second news, we got Matt. I know you guys, not a huge fan, Taran, but I think this is why I like him a little bit more. He devoted his whole life, obviously, as we saw in this episode, to racing cars, and he did have a crash in 2008, which ultimately led him to decide to leave the racing world for a little bit, and then his father had a heart attack, which just gave him another reason to sort of take a step back. But I saw on his Instagram recently that he is actually training and preparing for the Supercarts USA race that is happening this November at the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas. So that's
good for
something
him
to look forward to.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't hate Matt. Let's not. I'm starting to dislike Eric, but
all
I
right,
don't
all right.
Eric dislike
is the
Matt.
One.
I just think Matt's kind of stupid.
He could think through things more. He could.
Bravery without thought is the best
stupidity
way to die. And a lot of people think that bravery is the absence of, or courage is the absence of fear. It's not. It's being afraid but still persevering through it. And just being bold does nothing for me.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this debate, this is good. This is good because we're going to carry that into our special segment of the week. We're debuting a brand new special segment on this show, and it's going to be called Most Valuable Castaway, the MVC of the week. We're going to get a custom sound drop for that. It's good. We're working on it. But so basically, the concept of this is that us four on the panel are all going to pitch a person on the show that we think is the most valuable castaway of the week, and then we're going to be creating a Twitter poll on one of our Instagram accounts, or one of our Twitter accounts, excuse me. So definitely stick around to our Twitter accounts to see all that, and we're going to hear from you guys who you think is your favorite character. And so we're going to be calculating those Twitter votes as well as YouTube comments as well, calculating those up, and then we'll reveal who the most valuable voted castaway is of each week. So I'll start off with who my pick is.
Okay.
Then this is a little bit of a controversial one, but I think Eric is my most valuable castaway this week. We got to see, he may not have been the most valuable physically, but he really impressed me with his backstory, and that's a tough thing to do, building a family, and obviously, because that's obviously something I've never done and don't want to do anytime soon. So I props to him. But so I'd be interesting to see who you guys think are your most valuable. CJ, we'll start with you. Who's your most valuable castaway?
I mean, do you even have to ask me that? Obviously, it's you, Kenzie. You
are, directly to her.
Directly. You are my MVC because you are so brave and intuitive. And even if we didn't see that much of her in this episode, but in the beginning, when Kenzie and Robbie were reading the journal, I found that Kenzie was very intuitive when she said that Eric married the girl really fast into the relationship, and she got that right. So I was like, brains.
Okay.
Brains.
Okay.
Okay.
Katie, who's your MVC this week?
I'm going to pick Matt because I think that we got to see a lot of him and his story this episode, and that's what I was really looking for. Last episode, I was actually really interested in Matt and like why he hasn't moved from this shack in the water, and I really want to know more about him because it felt like he was a little stranded out there. And so it was good that like I feel like I got a lot of backstory. And I'm just excited to see him do some more risks and hopefully win at them.
I really appreciate that you guys all picked the people that you picked because you're all wrong.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Terry,
okay.
We'll see.
Terry is the MVC, the
She's
most valuable
nothing
castaway. And let me explain what she has done. She has First of all, she has superseded all of our expectations of her. With Eric, he's 31 or 32. Mm-hmm. I expect him to do the things he's done.
Okay.
She's 62 years old. She almost doubles his age. She's out there. She's walking around. She's the one who's found people. She's been the one feeding herself. She's been taking care of herself. She's had no one. She's found her own zen and her own peace on this island. She has become one with the island in many ways. She has found... I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, CJ. So she has found her way. She has now become a caretaker for someone else who's also even more vulnerable than she is. And instead of complaining and thinking, oh, like everyone else who finds someone else, they're like, oh, what if they are a weakness? What if they bring us down? She says to herself, it does not matter. I am here for you. So we will be in this together. And that's something that's very different. And number three, most important to me, she has never complained a single time, and she's the one that has the most to complain about. She probably has arthritis, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's. I don't know. What? But you know what? She's the one that hasn't complained one bit, and I respect the heck out of Terry right now, and I think that everyone at home, you should pay attention, and you should too. When it comes to Matt, being the most vulnerable and losing the most does not make you MVC. If that was the case, then Russell Westbrook would be the MVP every year. Yep. It has nothing to do. It means that are the person who comes through the most in the clutch, and that's what Terry's done. When it comes to your girl, Kenzie is smart. Kenzie is great. Kenzie is... all in all, the most cynical person on this show. Everything that everyone else does is stupid. Even to the fact that your buddy Eric gets married, she's the one that's like, oh, look at this guy, got married in a month. Oh, I'm just judging everyone because I'm Kenzie and I'm better than you. But you know what Terry did? Terry sang Disney musicals to herself on this island.
What?
And most importantly, Terry's number one thing that she has done so far is not die.
No one has died.
Even when she took a nap, I was like, oh, she's gone. But no, she wakes up. She wakes up.
All right, we're very proud.
You had one solid argument. Everything else you basically named. You named basic human skills. You said she was walking around. Everyone walked around.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, you don't know. You know what? You don't know a lot of grandmas because they are not walking around. She is walking around as if she's 62. As if she's a 30-year-old.
You know, you got to think, though, 62 is not too old, though. Like, she's not 75. Sorry.
I apologize. I would estimate your age under 25. Am I correct?
Yes.
She's only three times your age. So right now, so you can't walk. Because you can't even imagine what it's like to be 62.
Okay, but I have a grandma, and I know the
is she just
abilities.
Nimble and walking around and dancing?
Mine does,
well,
yes.
Yeah, she's doing very well, and she's in her mid-70s. So I got to say, if my grandma was put on that island, I think she'd do pretty well. Like Terry. So, like, I do applaud that she is a lot older than all the other cast members.
A lot older.
But, you know.
And has the least amount of skills.
That we know of. She's obviously a caregiver.
Except for the person that she's picked up, which is Roshana. And none of us picked Roshana because we obviously knew it wouldn't be her.
None of us picked Robbie, and Kenzie picked Robbie and went back to him and is helping him and is thriving. Well, not surviving, thriving.
But you know what Robbie can do? Fish. You know what Roshana can do? Cry.
Robbie cannot fish. Robbie.
All right, guys.
Kenzie
all right, guys.
I'm just
saying.
As you can tell.
We need to hear your opinions and your thoughts down below.
We
come to too
heated.
Do not fall for the bait. Do not
Pick
fall
Matt.
For the bait.
Pick
Look
Matt.
At the overall picture. That's all I'm saying. Matt is definitely. Matt's about to crash his race car again. Listen, we're talking about what's happening now on the show, Castaway. Please choose. And choose wisely.
I gotta say, man, props to you. That was a good monologue. I'm not convinced, but like I said, we could be here for hours talking about this, but we want to know what you guys think. Stick around to our social media, our Twitter specifically, for that vote, or leave a comment in the YouTube comments. I'll be checking all those. But speaking of social media, my name is Michael Patterson. As we close up right here, you can follow me on Twitter at MikePatNews. That's MikePatNews. CJ, where can we find you on social media?
My name is CJ Walker. You can find me everywhere at ICJ Walker, even YouTube.
Hey guys, Katie Walski here. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, all at Katie Walski _. I would love to talk more about why Matt is a great pick.
And I am Teron, literally at I am Teron, all across the board. Social media, that's Instagram, tweet, and the Facebook. Find me, follow me. Let's talk life.
Awesome. Well, once again, thank you guys for joining us on AfterBuzz TV competitions. If you want to tune in live next week, we will be here same day, same time, Tuesdays at 8 o'clock Pacific. And we'll see you guys next time. But since I'm the last, since I'm the host, I get the last word. Vote for Eric. See you guys.
No, Kinsey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.